Short thought on the Parsha, which relates to Pesach. Soloveitchik used to point this out, and earlier sources also indicate, as we know, the Seder of the Parshios are sequenced in such a way and timed in such a way to coordinate with our calendar, where there are no coincidences. Parshas Tzav always comes out in Shabbos HaGadol, with the exception of a leap year. We'll have to talk about that another time, another. But Parshas Tzav is the week before Pesach, and one reason why that might be so is because we find halachos regarding the karbonos that actually have quite a bit of overlap and relationship with the kashering for Pesach process. Shabbos HaGadol, traditionally, the Rabbanim, when they give a Shabbos HaGadol drush, it wasn't pure drush, it was actually an intense discussion of the halachos, so sometimes we don't have enough time to do that. As well as the drusha before Pesach, immediately before Pesach. So at other occasions, we discuss some of the halachos. On that note, those of you who would like to hear or watch the Q&A session from the other night, it will be available, watched in your email. But in the parsha, we find, for example, Chlecheres asher tibusha bo yishaver, imchlina choshes bushal morak vishuta b'mayim. The process for dealing with kalim, utensils that were used in the Beis Hamikdash, specifically for the karbonos, they would absorb the taste of the meat that was cooked in them. And that's not something that we can ignore. Once the taste is absorbed in the kalim, we have to deal with them appropriately. So, for example, a karbon chatas has limitations. As we read in the Mishnayos and Ezim Mekomen at the end of the karbonos in the morning, karbon chatas can only be eaten for on the day that it is offered, and that night afterwards, anything that's left over has to be destroyed, has to be burnt. That's the concept of nosar. Likewise, any taste from the karbanos, once that time has expired, we can no longer use the kalim unless they are kashered. The same way that any other treif absorption in a kli, right, makes the kli unusable until the kli has been kashered. So here we have an example. If it's kli cheres, if the utensil that happens to have the absorption of the taste of the karban is earthenware, that cannot really be kashered. So as a result, we smash it. We destroy it. Asher tibusha bo yishaver. It's unusable. Likewise, we generally treat China's earthenware. So if it gets absorbed with a treif taste, milchik sfleishik, so it's really not so simple to kasher it. There may be a method, but under normal circumstances, there's really nothing you can do to remove that absorption. Ashkenazi practices to treat glass. Also similar to klicheres, and the pasuk continues v'mechlin choshes bushala umorak v'shutaf b'mayim. If it's not something which is made out of klicheres, not something made out of earthenware, if it is actually made out of metal, so then there is a method for koshering it, putting hot water, boiling hot water inside of it, or dipping in hot water, and so forth. That's the concept of hagot. So that's all learned from this pasuk. I just wanted to add one more possible halacha that's found in this week's parsha that's very relevant for the preparations for Pesach. That may also be along the lines of what we just mentioned, another hint to the Hilchos Pesach that are already referenced in the Parsha as they relate to Karbanos. We asked a question the other day, when I perform Hagolah and I take a chametz stick kli and I put it in boiling water, so the taste which is absorbed, the chametz taste which is absorbed in the kli goes out into the boiling water. So we asked, well, what makes sure that the kli doesn't reabsorb the taste once it's in the water, that, right? If it goes out, it must come back in. Newton's law of chametz. So this question was actually asked by the Bali Tosos. We find there's a very big Tosos in Chulin, Perakol Basar, where a lot of the laws of kashrus are found. And one of the answers to that question, Tosos in Avodah Zarah also mentions this, is the concept of not bar not. Without getting into too many details, the principle is that once the taste leaves the kli and goes into the hot water, by the time it re-enters the kli, it's already been diluted or weakened. The strength is not as potent. So once it comes back in, it no longer has the caliber, so to speak. It's not a taste that has the caliber of potency that would allow it to continue to be an issue going forward. So once it goes out, it comes back in, it's been weakened, and that's the concept of not bar not dehetera. Let's say I had a milcha kli. The dairy goes out, comes back in, so the dairy is no longer significant, and strictly speaking, this kli is parv. If I had a kli which was absorbed with treif, goes back, if it goes out, comes back in, doesn't make a difference. Once it's usher, it doesn't matter how much you dilute it, that potency does not change the status of the absorption. So what about chametz? What is chametz? Is chametz like dairy, right? Where it's essentially heter? goes out, comes back in a diluted form, and therefore can't cause any problems? Or do we say that it is Isser, and therefore when it goes out, comes back in, but it is unchanged and remains with that Isser status? So this is a discussion amongst the Rishonim. The opinion that we are makbid on when it comes to kashering for Pesach is to treat it as if it's Isser. Why should chametz be Isser? There's only 1 week where we have to worry about chametz. Why should we call it Isser? The rest of the year when I'm still kashering my pot, it has no status to it. It's all the same. It's just like anything else. So the Rishonim point out this pasuk right before, one page before in Parshas Tzav, will say, "Afech chametz chalkam nasati osa meishai." There are limitations as far as chametz is concerned in the Beis Hamikdash. Certain menachos can only be prepared in a non-chametzic fashion. We're not allowed to put any chametz on the mizbeach. So, in the words of the Rishonim, chametz is shmo alav kol hashana, the whole year round in the Beis Hamikdash. There is a notion of chametz with a restricting, prohibitive factor to it, and therefore, even if, as far as my own consumption is concerned, this week, at the beginning of next week, chametz is 100% permissible, but since chametz maintains that chaloshem, that designation the whole year round, we treat it with the same severity as a prohibited substance when it's absorbed into the kli, even if it goes out into the water. Once that status of Isser has already pertained to the absorption, even when it goes back in, it can never lose that status of Isser, and therefore we have to come up with other ways to kasher, which is what we discussed the other night, waiting 24 hours before putting it into the Haggalah. If any of that is not clear, happy to discuss it one-on-one. If you'd like to ask, we can talk about it another time.